Create the four. The four square. The four square. Would everyone pray for me this morning? And pray that souls may truly find the Lord. May truly be filled with the Spirit, healed, ready for His coming. For this is to be a four-square message by His grace. A great deal is said in this world about life. One hears such expression, well, I'm living the life of Riley now. What do they mean? They're having a wonderful time. Or they'll say, well, this is the life. But friends, we hear others say life begins at 40. I've always wondered whether that was sour grapes or not. They were just trying to console themselves that they weren't 20. Or whether it really is you have to start in your youth to work for Jesus and build up a life. I'm not just sure exactly what they mean. I know one can do one's best work because Moses began when he was 80. But one thing I am certain of, life begins at four squaredom. With salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, divine healing, and the second coming of the Lord. Now, a phonograph record, a recording, is being made of my message this morning. So if everyone will say amen once in a while, be my musical background, I'll appreciate it. Amen. Life, eternal life, were the words cried by pilgrims in Pilgrim's Progress. And throughout the ages, the instinct toward life is springing eternal and eternal in the human soul. Men go out and take their exercises and run on the track. They may be strong to live a longer life. Turn on the radio in the morning and one hears the setting up exercises. Life, they'll say, do this and thus and so. Vitamins, A, B, C, D. Are you sure that you're receiving them? How about your sunbaths? Life. Friends, we speak of another life under the sun of righteousness with the vitamins of the Word of God this morning. Luke 10:25, here is the cry. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life, to live forever? Ponce de Leon, you know, tried it in his manner, but thank God we've found the secret. Luke 10:10 answers it by Jesus himself saying, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 3:36 also gives an answer. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. Revelation 2:16, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. The fountain of Ponce de Leon did not find, thank God we found, and is given freely. Praise God. And John 10:9, tells us also of the door that leads to life. We swing our curtains wide this morning at Angela Temple in a simple, homey illustration, which I hope will also carry over radio KFSG. With the words, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. Revelation 3:8, behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Luke 13:25, but once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, well, we are given to understand that no man will ever be able to open it again. You open it. As this morning, we consider then eternal life. Life beginning at Forest Square. Life that we are to rebuild or renew or see start from this very hour. We are desirous within our soul that it shall be lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Does anyone know that you're saved? You know, some time ago they tell me that a young man was keeping company with and paying some attention to a certain young lady in that he had made a number of calls at her home. Quite eligible. And the young lady's proverbial younger brother came dashing in and he said, "Bill, I want to ask you something. Do you love my sister Jenny or don't you?" The young man was covered with confusion and blushing. He says, well, why do you ask me? Well, he says, "Because my sister said she'd give $5 to know. And I thought I'd have the money and I'll give you back $1 of it if you'll just answer it." He doubtless turned out to be a Wall Street financier. But friends, do you love Jesus or don't you? We won't give you $5 to tell, but if you love him, say so. Let the world know that you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a soldier of the King and a soldier of the cross, then fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, for life begins at Forest Square. Speaking of fighting the good fight of faith, an orator, they told me some time ago, was standing on a soapbox. And I don't know what he was haranguing about, but part of his address brought him a rather fighting talk. He said, "Show me an Irishman, and I'll show you a coward every time." And, of course, you can imagine what that did to an Irishman in the crowd. They're known to be quick on the trigger. And this man stepped forward and he said, "My friend, what did you say?" He said, "I said, show me an Irishman and I'll show you a coward." Well, he said, "I'm an Irishman. I'm an Irishman right now. So what? What have you to say?" He said, "Well, you're an Irishman?" "Yes." "Well, I'm a coward." And he ran as fast as he could run. The other direction. If you're going to fight for Jesus, stand up for Christ. When you hear someone cursing and taking his name in vain, let the world know that you're on the Lord's side. Don't just sit there mutely. So we must ask you to love him. Let the world see in you. Oh, salvation's so wonderful. So that's the first step of Forest Square. Some time ago, a Christian lady was visiting a poor, sickly woman. And she asked her in a direct question, "Have you found salvation yet?" The sick woman said, "Well, no, but I'm working hard on it." To which the Christian lady replied, "Ah, my dear, you'll never get it that way. Christ did all the work. When he suffered and died for us and made complete atonement for our sins. And you must take salvation as a free gift, unmerited grace, or you cannot have it at all." And how true those words are. Amen. Life begins at Forest Garden. I see a sinner coming forward this morning in my illustration, in the mind's eye. So I always picture things and they're illustrated. I think I'd not been a picture, I'd like to have been a cartoonist. Because I love to draw things as I see them, as easily as a teacher and makes a mark upon a blackboard. And here's a picture of the sinner as the Lord's word describes it. The sinner from head to foot is rags. To all our righteousnesses, it doesn't matter what we've done. We may have paid into the church offering, and we may have given to the poor, and we may have done wonderful things to hospitals, lovely things in themselves. But unless we've been born again, no matter how many lodges we belong to,
or how many unions or how many churches we've joined, unless we've been born again through the precious blood of Jesus, all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags. And from head to foot were wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up to mar by the ointment, and were laden down with a load of sin. An infidel said some time ago, well, I don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood can wash away my sin. And the Christian street preacher should be having an argument with him said, well, you and Paul are quite agreed on that subject. And the infidel says, how? Does Paul agree with me that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away my sin? He says, yes. Turn to the first chapter of Corinthians in the 16th verse, and you'll read it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And the infidel hung his head, began shortly thereafter reading his Bible, became gloriously saved, and knew the power of salvation. Now life begins at fourth freedom. Here's a wonderful door. It's an evolving door. The sinner comes up in all her rags and says, I would be saved. Christ is there. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Did you see him standing just back of the door? I wonder what will happen to the poor sinner now. All you need to do is say, with a beautiful cross on it. What transformation is wrought? What life begins at the first step of our freedom? Open the door and come out, ransom soul, and let's see what's happened. Why, look here. Here's the same person. Redeemed by love. Sing it, everybody. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my.
Were you
once a sinner in rags? In rags I was, and Jesus saved me. Washed me, cleansed me. I too was in rags. I came to the cross, dear one, and rose. Not a sinner, but all a sinner saved by grace, by His precious blood. Now I walk the narrow path up to glory by faith, by His precious blood. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Fine. Now that's a real transformation. Did you see that miracle? The person came up here in rags and tatters with a bundle of sin, went through the door with the cross on it, and came out absolutely changed, newborn again. And it's all different to that one. Glory be to God. You little sister, do you think I could find salvation? It's as easy as to be. It's just, if you're determined to start somewhere. If you've heard perhaps about the young boy, Raymond, he was about your age. And he was looking for work. He saw a sign inside a window which said boy wanted. He walked in the store, went to the window, took out the boy wanted sign, looked around and saw the office with a label on it, general manager. Walked up and opened the door and handed the general manager the sign. And the general manager brought his feet and said, what in the world did you take that sign down for? Why, he says, because it reads boy wanted and you don't need a boy anymore. I'm here to answer the call. Here I am. And brother, that's all you need to do if you would be saved. Just answer. Sinner wanted to become a Christian and a worker for the cross. Life begins at fourth square. The next thing you need is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It isn't enough to be merely born again. You need to grow in God.
Don't remain a baby, cutting your teeth and having to have someone warm your bottle for you all the time and pat you on the back and keep you good-natured and jump up and down. Grow up to be men and women filled with the Spirit, glorifying God. Otherwise, you're cold icebergs. I was telling them last evening in my sermon about a certain brand of apple, a type of apple known as the Apple John, that must be withered and pretty well shriveled, and it's not perfect. Lots of people like their gospel that way, without any sap. Still, cold. No real glory to it. Well, you can't blame people for taking their preferences. But personally, I like the life and the love and the lift and the glory of actual working for Christ. Come forward, please. A sample of a man that needs a baptism or a woman that needs a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why, here comes a lady down representing the park this morning, and she's dressed from head to foot in icicles. And cold? How cold I am! How cold I am! Nobody knows how cold I am. Never said amen in church. Never said one good hallelujah. It's cold. Even be nearer. Sister, do you see a door there? Do you see what's on the door? There's a four-square emblem. The torch with a lighted flame. It means the Pentecostal baptism of the Holy Ghost according to Acts 2:4. And for all our cold church members, I advise you to enter that door and see what the Lord does for you. Speak now, and you shall find. Glory be to God. The Lord knows how to take care of that dear one. The door opens in a moment.
It's all the fire, hell. All the fire, hell. All the fire, hell. I never shall forget. All the fire, hell. When the Lord that I see.
Well, say, did you know that you can go in with an icicle dress and you can come out with a flame dress? All out of that, such as you had your baptism. Can you say a word for the Lord?
Praise the Lord for saving me and filling me with the blessed Holy Spirit. He's been so good to me that I just praise him for everything.
And you feel a fire burning in your soul? Well, brother and sister, how many have an icicle coat on this morning? How many would like to be bathed in fire? Say amen. All right, there's the door. Light begins at four square them. First go in by the door of the cross. Then go in by the door of the torch. Get the fire within your soul. One thing I've found about the baptism of the Holy Spirit will make you willing to live or die or suffer for Christ. I addressed something over 800 Bible school students among this audience this morning, I believe. How many of the students would be willing, as far as you know your own heart, as none of us know till we face the firing squad, but as far as you know yourself, would be willing to die for Jesus Christ to carry this gospel? When you came to Christ, you came all together. Thank God for that. And I believe that goes for many others here today. Jesus paid it all. Now, if we have the Holy Spirit, we'll have an incentive to go on for Him. Some time ago, in a bad cave-in at a coal mine, 60 men were trapped, locked in, imprisoned, without air, you might say, or food, or water. All hope seemed to be given up, except there was one little narrow aperture still open, which might close at any time. The superintendent of mines called a little boy, and he said, "Sonny," and the little boy's face was black with coal dust. He'd been working for a pittance on the dump, trying to support his mother. He'd never had reading or writing, never been able to afford the time to go to school. He said, "Sonny, you're just about the size to crawl into this opening and drag behind you a pipe. If anyone can get there, you can. But I want you to know you're risking your life. One little move, and this loose shale and coal may come down and crush you instantly. Are you willing to try it? And the youngster stood very straight a moment, little thin body erect, and he said, "Sir, I'll do the best I can." The superintendent said, "That's all anyone can be asked to do." And so he stripped off all the clothing he dared spare that he could get through this hole. He put on a heavy cap, and dragging this hollow pipe behind him, he started this tortuous crawl of 600 feet underground in the dark. There are many times when the watchers outside stood and held their breath, for the pipe stopped. He said, "Uh-oh, he's been crushed." But just when they thought there was no further use of waiting, the pipe moved on again an inch at a time, and again it would stop. And then it moved on again, and again it would stop. Friends, that's the way we're trying to take the four-square gospel around the world. Station by station, country by country, city by city, state by state, province by province, republic by republic. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is being carried by missionaries of many churches into many lands. Amen? Sometimes you may think that the airflow has stopped, but wait a moment. So one may die, another picks it up. And finally came back a feeble little voice that announced that Tim had gotten there safely with his hollow pipe. And then immediately and for 6 days thereafter, the crowds outside called to the 61 now, the little boy. Trapped men received air through this tube. And they received water through the tube. And they received condensed food through the tube. Until finally they were rescued and taken to their own much relieved, rejoicing families. Oh, God, give us men and women who'll have life again at Forest Wordham, who'll go through the door of a holy torch, be filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 4, and then willing to lay down their lives for the gospel's sake. Amen. Now, life begins at Forest Wordham. And it isn't all just preaching in the pulpit. It's practical, homey, everyday help. For instance, here is our physical body. It's ever with us. We have to recognize it. Even ministers, Moses stands, must recognize us, even did our glorious Lord when he was weary and sat thus on the well. Oh, I'm so glad that verse is in the Bible. Otherwise, I'd be ashamed to ever take off my shoes after meeting and say, Oh, my feet are tired. Those people sat there so long and they looked so comfortable, but I never did get a chance to sit down once. My, it's nice. Ease my back a little bit. The Lord was weary and set us on the well. So we must recognize the physical. But friends, for the physical need, we have a divine healing Savior who says, "Sufficient to the day." Amen. "And my grace is sufficient to thee, and as thy day shall so I strengthen thee." Come on, sick person. Let me have a sample here of the sick folks we see coming. Everyone's a human being, you know, after all. Well, I know they wrong me, but never mind. Yet lay aside every weight that so easily beset you. How many was your sister? I want to be ready when he comes. I'd like to search my heart afresh. Put your hand up. I would, wouldn't you? Are you afraid somebody else would see you put your hand up? Or are you for sure you're right ready? Put your hand up. Those of the sister, pray for me. I want to know more assuredly that I'm ready. Good for you. Now, will everyone who put your hand up on every one of those four calls put them up again? Salvation, divine healing, the Holy Ghost, and the coming of the Lord. Put your hands up. Everyone lift your hand. But will you all rise to your precious feet? Come on, everyone stand. Do what I tell you now. That's what I'm here for, is to be a preacher, and you're there to mind me. Stand up. Come on. Everybody stand up in the balcony, on the main floor, among the student body, wherever you may be. I need healing. I need the Holy Ghost. I need to have victory in my life to be ready to meet the Lord. I need real sanctified living. All right. Step in the nearest aisle, and don't you even hesitate and give the devil a chance to whisper to you. Come right on down forward. Come on. Come on. Everybody come forward now, just quickly as you can. Thank you, doctor. Come on, elders. Come on, Lifeline Brigade. Students, come and help me point these people to Christ. Some here need one thing, some need another.
Some are praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some are praying for divine healing. Some are praying for salvation. Some are praying for victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil that would hold them back. Those that are glad to see people coming to the altar for these real things, say amen. Will the entire audience stand and sing? All right, everyone rise. Everyone sing, I need thee. Everybody sing over Radio Land now. I... Oh, God. May the Lord Jesus dismiss with his blessing this great audience and bless our radio audience. Grant that many may find Christ as their Savior, their baptizer, their great physician, their soon coming King. Bless this throng of hungry seekers who come forward. Send down the people to pray them through here and give them just the right words to speak for Jesus' sake. Help us to hurry back now to the next meeting. And to live for you truly, amen. Good morning, and good pleasure. Don't forget, wait a minute. There's a special offering at the door.
At the door, as you go out, the ushers will be there with the fans to receive your offering. This offering is for the new Sunday school building.
Yes, for the new Sunday school building. Our Sunday school is increasing so rapidly, we're going to have to put up a new building.
Under Crusader.
Men's Auditorium, Crusader, meeting.